Praise the Lord. Today we're going to be reading out of the book of Leviticus, chapter 17. We'll talk about life in the blood. And I know in the natural sense there's no life without blood, but there is no spiritual life without the blood of Christ. But he died, shed his blood for us. And I know that's the basics of the gospel. We need to hear it often. Praise the Lord. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Let me just preface this by saying that in Canaanite culture, it was nothing unusual for them to misuse blood and to drink blood even. I know that's gross, but that's what they did. And they were coming into a place that blood of life was not honored at all. But God honors life, the blood. So Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor any stranger who dwells among you eat blood." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint me, God, to speak the right words to the people. And may your name be glorified above all. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, as Israel was being warned by God of the lifestyle of the Canaanites, they were ungodly. They had reached the place of judgment. And their sins had come to the place where God, in his great perfection and justice, could do nothing but judge Canaan. And so that's why God said, destroy all the Canaanites, and said, I'll be with you. I'll help you in all your battles. And so we look at this today, and apparently those in Canaan didn't have any respect for blood of any kind. As a matter of fact, we can see it today, just not a whole lot of respect for life in general. So the lifestyle of Canaanites was extremely awful, and it called out for God's judgment. Adultery, incest, bestiality, homosexuality, child sacrifice, and some of the practices God had forbidden Israel to accept. You know, they were bad. But are we today any better? Is America any better? We can't identify male and female. God just gave us all common sense. He expects us to use it. We can't identify male and female. We can't anymore in this nation. There are some people can't. And we'll go so far as in this nation to sell parts of aborted babies for science research and for various things. But who is the creator? Who is in charge of life? Who says when life begins and life ends? Tell you what God does. He's in charge of life. He's given us life, and Christ has come in to give us life and have life and life more abundantly. But the shedding of blood is the history of the world. There have been wars ever since the Garden of Eden, and blood has been shed. And God, one of the six things that God hates, and I believe in Proverbs chapter 6 or 7, one of the six things God hates is the shedding of innocent blood. And when innocent blood is shed, it cries out for judgment. Man. Even in the Old Testament story of Cain and Abel, we know that Cain got mad and he killed his brother Abel. And God said to him, "What have you done?" And he said, I'm not my brother's keeper. But he said, "The blood of your brother Abel cries out from the ground to me." So that was calling for God's judgment on Cain. Okay? But I look at this now, we think of today, and I wonder how close we are to the world's final judgment. Natural blood gives life to both man and animal. It would take pure, sinless blood to atone for sins. Something would have to take the sinner's place. And it was not blood flowing in the veins, but shed blood. not flowing by blood, but only shed blood would atone for sin. Only death of an innocent and a perfect sacrifice could atone for sin. That's the only payment that God will accept. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, meaning there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. There was not a man good enough. There was not a man that was sinless. There was not even an angel that was good enough to atone for the sins of mankind. It took the Son of God, man, because that was the only perfect blood there could be if God became a man, and he did in his Son, Jesus. And so we see the natural blood is the agent that carries all the life-giving things to your body. The vitamins, the minerals, everything it needs is there. It's carried by the blood. Also, the blood carries out all impurities. Amen. And some people have the blood working hard for them. But I have had a friend back in high school, and, you know, had one for that too, but anyway. And he swallowed a bullet. I don't know if it was a 38 special or a 22 bullet, whatever it was, and they took him to the doctor. What's going to happen? I guess they expected it to explode inside of him. And they said, it probably won't do anything. It'll just come out at the right time. You got what I mean? Definitely the blood carried it out, impurities. But without the blood in the natural doing what it would do, we would become contaminated, poisoned, and develop disease and die. Because you see, sin grows until it destroys. Sin is never satisfied, and the devil is never satisfied for you just to sin once. The devil's never satisfied until sin becomes the habit that you do continually. But Jesus came to wash away our sins and to have us to be born again, where that we would not pursue the avenue of sin, but we pursue righteousness instead. And spiritually, without the blood of Jesus applied by faith, we become contaminated with sin that eventually brings spiritual death. And Jesus came into this world to deliver from sin. Amen. And in his final times upon this earth, he knew his purpose would be fulfilled. That's the reason he came. And he says in John, 1 John 1 and 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he, Christ, is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you're a Christian, you're walking with God, there is a continual cleansing of the blood of Christ in your life. Amen. And so, without the blood of Christ, all that's left is sin and death and eternal judgment. In a world of a nation full of violence, cruelty, demon-inspired behavior that sin produces, death, eternal separation from the love and the hope and the compassion, the mercy of God, is something that's unthinkable. To enter eternity and there would never be anybody to say, hey, you're doing good, I'm praying for you, you're going to be okay, that would be awful. But that's what death without Christ would bring. It's called in the book of Revelation the second death, because It is a way of death and dying that will never cease. I've seen a number of people die in my lifetime. Those that had Christ in their heart, it may not have been an easy thing, may have died in pain, but there's a certainty when they take that last breath that, hey, there's a change of expression, and you knew they went to be with God. And so we know that death happens. You know, it's appointed unto man wants to die, so we're going to die, all of us, physically. I know that probably didn't encourage you, but anyway, everyone will die physically, but you don't have to die spiritually. You don't have to die without Christ. And your spirit man inside of you, if you're born again of God's Spirit, then the spirit man inside of you is never going to cease to live with Christ eternally if you're saved. And it's the blood that gives all life and movement to all the muscles in your body. But when the blood stops flowing, the body becomes stiff, dead, and without movement. And I'm not here to teach a science lesson. I'm not a doctor, as you figured that out, I'm sure. But the church that never preaches, sings, or speaks about the blood of Jesus becomes spiritually stiff, spiritually dead, with no message to save lives from eternal judgment. My friend, we must speak the truth about the blood of Christ. It must be there, praise God, because there's no other offer, no other salvation from sin. There's no other cleansing and washing away the guilt and the shame of sin without the blood of Christ. And when a person comes to God in faith, the blood by faith is applied to their lives that Jesus shed on the cross. And we should all be aware that eternity is a heartbeat away. People put it off and say, well, I'll get right with God on my deathbed. But you don't know if your deathbed will be in the hospital or it be driving down the road in a car and meet another one coming 70 miles an hour and you're going 70 miles an hour and it'd be an instant death. We don't know how we will die or when we will die. That's in the hands of God. But if you're a Christian, you can know that however you die, you're going to be with Jesus. So we should also always be aware that eternity is a heartbeat away, a breath away. And so we need to have faith in Christ as our Savior. I'm not predicting anybody's but death, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't do that, but that's in the hand of God. But let's notice, second of all, spiritual life is in the blood of Jesus. In 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, it says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from the aimless conduct of by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus fulfilled all Old Testament blood sacrifices. And I'm thinking about so much of the sacrifices that were being offered for sin in the Old Testament under the law of Moses, under the law before Christ came to fulfill the law. I mean, every sin required, if it was going to be forgiven, it had to be paid for by something dying. That's the reason you see lambs and goats and whatever were sacrificed in the place of the sinner so that it could be forgiven, because God required the death penalty on sin. And of course, that would be fulfilled in Christ. And the last altar where a sacrifice would be offered was the cross where Jesus died. And there from the cross that day, as Jesus was crucified, poured pure, sinless, the only sinless blood there ever was that could atone for the sins of the people. The only one blood that God would accept as atonement for sin. In the Old Testament people, when Jesus died, was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, those who had died in faith of the coming Messiah, their sins, they would see Jesus and they would believe in him and they would be saved. But the Bible says in Ephesians 1 and 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Can you imagine just one person forgiving you, say, it's okay, I've got this, you're forgiven. Regardless of what sins you had or what evil you had done to a person, and God forgave you. Who did Jesus die for that day on the cross? You see, there are many people that were guilty of the blood of Jesus, of the guilt, death of Jesus. The Jews were guilty. The high priest and the people, religious people of Israel, they condemned Christ to death. He had done no wrong, no sin, but they condemned him to death. They were responsible for him dying on the cross. And also the Roman soldiers, they weren't innocent either. As they nailed spikes through his wrist, his hands, to the cross, and his feet, you say, well, they were the ones that were guilty. Yes, they were guilty. And anybody in Rome, under Roman Empire, if you claim to be something, a king or anything like that, you would be put to death. And crucifixion was not just one-time thing. It happened numerous times. People were crucified, that anybody that opposed Rome. And crucifixion happened upon a popular place where everybody saw.
what the result of rebelling against Rome would bring. But I want to tell you, on that day, there was no rebellion against Rome. It was Jesus paying for the sins of the whole world. So the Jews were guilty, the Romans were guilty, but let's make it a little more down to home. You and I are guilty. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and our sin requires payment to be made for it. And a payment that you and I could never afford to make within ourselves. Amen. The gold and the silver of 10,000 worlds would not atone for one single sin, because it had to be sinless, pure, and perfect blood to atone for our sins. And that's what Jesus did when he poured out his soul unto death. Amen. And so it's in him we have redemption, payment. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And because of that, you become one of God's chosen people because you chose him. You became one of adopted son, children of God because he adopted you in his kingdom. You become, by the blood of Christ, you become accepted by him. Not rejected, but accepted. In him, you become redeemed. And God adds a lot to that. He says, also God has given you an inheritance. Amen. A heavenly and eternal inheritance, not death and hell, but heaven. Amen. And it says, and God sealed this with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's God's, the Holy Spirit is a stamp of approval upon you that says you belong to God. Amen. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. You see, nobody came near God and lived. There were so many people in the Old Testament that did not respect the holiness of God, they couldn't survive when the holiness of God was there. Did God make it that way? No, that's just who God is. He is so holy and so pure beyond our imagination that any sin that enters his presence has to die. And so there were people that died. If you talk about all the deaths in the Old Testament, there was a lot of them. A lot of them was because they rebelled against God's Ten Commandments, and God had to allow things to happen to them because he was a righteous God and he dealt with people righteously. And so we could come near God by Christ, by the blood of Christ. When you come in this place and you worship God, you lift your hands or whatever you do and begin to worship God and you sense the presence of God upon you, I want to tell you something God has given you. The grace to come near him. Amen. That's the reason worship is so important. It's not just a few songs that people sing on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But it's worship to God. We come near to God. And we can come near to God without fear. We can come near God without failure. We can come near to God because he shed his blood on Calvary to wash away our sins and make us worthy to stand before him and to be in his presence. You say, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. You're right. Neither am I. The blood of Christ makes us worthy. That's the only way. God sees us, the Father sees us through the righteous blood of his Son, and therefore we can be near. Okay? Colossians 1:20 says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Without the blood being shed, there would be no peace. Amen? People will ask you, are you at peace with God? I am, not because of something I've done, but because he shed his blood on Calvary and paid for my sins. That's why. He was wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah 53, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, and with his stripes we were healed. So Jesus took an awful lot for you and I to have peace that everything's going to be okay with between you and him on that day that you pass from this life. Okay. The blood reminds us that we are purchased and paid in full. And when you stand before God and you've invited Christ to be your Savior, you have no unpaid account.
Amen.
I know that most people, or many people, they have credit card debt that's up to here and higher. And most of them that have that are younger. And you get a certain point in life, you learn not to charge everything. And it comes back to haunt you, and you end up paying more interest than you did for the thing you bought to start with. But when it comes to our sin, Jesus paid it all. And you don't have an unpaid account. It's paid in full by the blood of Christ. You're redeemed. Amen. And apart from the blood of Christ, judgment is certain. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Judgment day will be a horrible day for those who have rejected Christ. The books will be open and will reveal all their sins. Nothing would be covered up, and the wrath of God would fall upon them. Because you see, God does not take it easily when somebody rejects the blood of His Son. And the worst thing a person can do is reject God's gracious offer of salvation through the blood of His Son. Okay? But all have broken God's law. Somewhere or another, you've broken one of the Ten Commandments. I have. Amen. We want to start naming them? No, we don't want to start naming them. Because nobody wants to stand here and name their sins that they've committed in the past. Nobody wants to bring that up. When you get to heaven, God is not going to bring up everything that you've done. He has forgiven you. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You're forgiven. Your sins have been washed away. Amen. They're buried in the sea of forgetfulness forever, not to be brought up against you anymore. I think, you know, God is not like humanity. Because as humans, we're going to say, do you remember when you did this to me or that? You said this, you said that, you know, you went here, you went there. Do you remember when you did that? Do you remember when you had a fit? Shouldn't have, but you had a cussing fit when somebody ran in front of you in the traffic and you got road rage and you said things you shouldn't say. Do you remember that? No, God's not going to do that to us. When we come to Him and ask God's forgiveness, you do have to ask forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? Without the blood of Jesus being preached, the church becomes dead and stiff and formal and without life. I've been in a few such churches. I've been in a few churches that was so spiritually cold you could hang beef in there. Preached in a church when I was just getting in the ministry. I was just young and was. And I preached in a church. Back then, you know, I wasn't sure I was called to preach. And I said, God, if you'll give me an opportunity, I'll take it. And God gave me an opportunity. Some of them were pretty interesting. But I was preaching one church. The pastor asked me to preach for him on a Sunday night, so I did. And it was hard to preach. I couldn't preach. It was strong. I couldn't ever get loose, and didn't have very many words to say. It was probably a short sermon. Afterward, I found out why it was so hard to preach. The pastor's wife and one of the deacons was having an affair, and there was just no freedom there. It was stiff, dead, and formal because of that. Now, I'm not here to run anybody down. If you have sin, does its own job of running you down. Okay? But Jesus came to set people free. He doesn't want you to be stiff and formal. He wants you to have freedom to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That doesn't mean you have to put on a show when you come to the house of God. But my friend, if Jesus stretched out His hands on the cross, amen, to die for me, I don't mind stretching my hands out and say, Lord, I'm going to praise You with my hands lifted up. It doesn't mean you have to do everything the same way I do it or the way somebody else does it, but I want to tell you something, friend. It's a wonderful thing to praise this God who's delivered us from so much. Last of all, God has given us the blood of His Son, 17:11 of Leviticus. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar. You put Christ here. Now, this is not speaking of Christ, really, but we're making you bring it down to New Testament.
to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. That's the reason so many songs on the blood. That's the reason that we sing about the blood of Christ, because without the blood, you know, we're meeting in vain today. But with the blood of Jesus, we're not meeting in vain. We're here to worship the one holy, true, powerful God who had grace and mercy upon us to redeem us and to forgive us of our sins. Amen. And one day God will say, you're forgiven. The blood of my Son covers you. I want you to enter into the joys of heaven. This eternity is for you. This is yours. You've been born again of God's Spirit. You've been given the gift of eternal life. You can share in my, God will say, you can share in my eternity because of the blood of my Son. And so we know that the blood on the altar, not the blood in the veins of Christ, but the blood that was shed on the altar of the cross that atones for sin. And Jesus knew all of his life why he had come. And you think, well, how did Jesus live in this earthly human body? And he did. He was the Son of God and Son of Man. Knowing at the end, he would pay for the sins of the whole people. Of all the people. Jesus knew that he had come to this world to die for you, for me, to take our place, to shed his blood to pay for our sins. Matthew 20 and 28. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Also in John 12, 27, it says there, Jesus says there, now is my soul troubled. He was approaching the time when he would go to the cross. He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. This voice did not come because of me, for your sake, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world will be cast out. That would be the devil. And now Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. And the word lifted up there, everyone in that culture knew that meant crucifixion, lifted up. And Jesus would be lifted up on a cross before this whole world. And through the cross, God could draw all peoples to himself. Anybody that would surrender their lives and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, he would save. And Jesus expected all that. He expected the crown of thorns. He expected the nails. He expected the spear that pierced his side. He expected the beating with the whip that he received. Crucifixion was an awful way to be executed. And when the person was beaten before crucifixion, many times their vital organs fell out of their body and they died before they ever were nailed to a cross. It's an awful thing. And he did this for me. He did this for you. So he expected all this crown of thorns, but heaven worships because of the blood of Christ today. No payment for sin until blood is shed. Mankind, until pride and his will is broken, there can be no deliverance from the penalty of sin, no eternal life without the blood. Let me give you this story, this illustration. Martin Luther, we hear a lot about him. He was the father of the Reformation. And he was, in his life, he was a monk at a monastery. Don't put an E there. He wasn't a monkey. He was just monk. But they had rules then that, you know, if you committed a sin, then you would beat yourself on the back with so many stripes. And so that's the way it was in a Catholic monastery. But one day, in his dream, he began to list his sins on a chalkboard, a piece of chalk. And he listed them one by one that he could remember in his dream. And finally, when he got to the end, there was no more room on the blackboard. He knew that he just never could list them all. But in his dream, at the edge of that chalkboard, there was a drip of blood that came there. And it ran down a little ways. And the blood just becomes stronger and stronger and thicker until all the sins that he had listed on the blackboard were covered. And then came the revelation to him that we're not saved by works, we're saved by the blood of Christ who washes away all of our sins. And that is where justification by faith was presented. I know it was presented by Christ years before, but that's where the church finally came to agree with that. So God extends mercy instead of judgment. The judgment for my sin years fell upon Christ at the cross. It was prophesied 700 years before Christ. And it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. So Jesus bore a heavy load of sin when he went to the cross. All the guilt, all the shame that you've ever felt about any sin that you've ever committed, Jesus bore that on Calvary, even though he never sinned himself. That's the reason the writer in Titus says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The blood is appropriated by faith. When we acknowledge our sins and the blood of Jesus shed in our place, then the death penalty is taken from us and we're given life instead. As we're about to observe the Lord's Supper, we're continually reminded that what it took for us to be forgiven, loved, saved, and on our way to heaven. So when we take the emblems of communion, as we're about to do, I'll ask people that are going to serve it to come on, and we understand that this is remembering what Jesus did on the cross. It's not just some religious thing that we do. There's many people that do it for that reason, but we do it because we remember what it took to purge us, cleanse us from our sins. Praise the Lord.